On the wireless, or tell me how to do it. Or what that goes. Hello? Okay, guys, these are the technical guys responsible for creating what you've seen today in terms of the quality of picture and sound and the venues and the whole production of this. So let's go for it, guys. Any questions here? Yes, sir, right there.
I was going to ask this earlier. Let me preface this by saying that I actually think that Mr. Lucas is well within his rights to do whatever he wants with his movies. I'm not like a lot of people out there who think that, you know, why is he doing that? But I do have a question, though, because he did make a statement about the Three Stooges being released in color by Sony. Just out of curiosity, I know it's been officially said that the prints don't exist anymore for the original versions of the 77. I forgot what the years were for the other movies, but off the record, does he have them somewhere? just for historical.
A couple of things. First of all, nothing's ever off the record that way. But secondly, let's talk about this because this will come up, okay? This, you know, which version of the film? It comes down to what we have said and he has said traditionally, constantly, which is he very strongly believes in an artist's right to have his work presented in the way that he wants to present it. The Three Stooges color comment, whoever created the Three Stooges didn't have their decision made on that, and that's just a personal preference issue. But in terms of your own personal art and how you want it to be presented, an artist has that right, and that's why. And the 97 versions of the film are what he feels are closer to his original vision that he couldn't accomplish back in 1977. And people either like it or they don't or whatever, and we respect that point of view, that, you know, we understand that, but at the end of the day, it's a point of view that George feels very strong about in terms of artist rights.
To play devil's advocate to that a little, would we ever reach a point where, as we've added Hayden Christensen to the ghost shot at the end of Jedi, that we could replace Atkins with Ewan McGregor?
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about. You're going to get some checklists today, and you guys can go all off and take a look at them and examine them and all of that kind of thing, and make your own comments and reactions to that. But at the end of the day, I just need to stick with an artist's right to represent the work the way he sees fit. Okay.
What's the last comment on that? I mean, do you have any responsibility, though, in terms of history, in terms of, you know, how are we supposed to understand the world we live in today and where we came from if we can't go back and look at works that were created at that time, for example, but not being able to see the original versions, and how we understand where George Lucas came from, where we came from, if things were changing. Is there any discussion
about that? Yeah, guys, I can't, that's probably a personal question for George. I can't really answer that. But I will tell you that at the end of the day, what he wants out there is what his vision is for these films. He couldn't accomplish it earlier, but he wants to accomplish now. Yeah?
How come there aren't any deleted scenes on the disc?
Well, that's a fair question. We went back in and looked at the archives, and there's just a tremendous, tremendous amount of material. And what you're seeing here is truly the tip of the iceberg of all of that kind of stuff. And we then had to make some tough decisions about what do we want and how do we want to configure this particular DVD. And I sat down with George and we in fact did that. Deleted scenes didn't make the list. Yeah?
A question for John. When you went to do the remastering and the restoration, what resolution were you working at when you did the scanning and the
We didn't do the scanning. It was done by a couple of post houses here in L.A. But we were working at high definition resolution, that is 1920 by 1080.
Basically 2K?
No, 1920, 1080, HD. But it was full RGB resolution rather than the typical HD, which is why UV half color bandwidth. So it was RGB HD.
Okay, right here.
With the three.
Can we get this one on too? This time I have a switch on. Hello? Hello? Okay.
with the three different menus, I know here you were able to make it play the order for us. Is there a way to get the menu you want to be showing it to someone, or is it totally random?
Well, as Jim mentioned before, it's totally random unless you know the codes. If you're familiar with the previous two discs, Phantom and Bank of Clones, we try to remain consistent. So if you know for those, you'll know for this set.
Hello? Hello?
And also, and this is something that people may not know, there's also another hidden code for people who want to show things to be able to pass by all the menu transitions and just go straight to the menus. So there's that code available too, if you can kind of figure it out. I'm not sure if we're at liberty to discuss that.
No, we want to tell them.
We want you to look at the menus, of course.
You're not going to answer this, but I'll ask it anyway. Which disc is the blooper reel hidden on?
Well, how do you know there's a blooper reel?
I just know.
You're right. I've never
seen his work before.
Okay, let's go right in the back there.
So, if I'm understanding correctly, you can't skip the
animations
in the menu unless you find the code left and right?
No, actually, you can use your
fast forward.
Your step forward button. Your step forward button. That's something new we actually implemented on this set, because we realized that, you know, I want people to look at the stuff, but I also know that after about the fifth time, if you want to just get somewhere, you can do that. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Right here in the center, right there.
You said that this was the tip of the iceberg. I mean, is this the end all be all Star Wars film MVP, or could there be another possible set later with some more of this material, like the deleted scenes and other stuff that?
Hey, the possibility is always there. And remember, guys, this is the definitive version in terms of this technology, but we're facing pretty quickly high definition and whatever else comes down the line. That gives us an opportunity to make these things look even better. So that gives us an opportunity to come out later.
I have one other question, too. Is that originally we just intended to have this stuff come out after all the entire trilogy was completed. Was there a reason why it came out earlier? Because you guys were ready, or is it?
No, it was purely a window issue. George made it very clear from the outset that I want to focus on the prequels, and then after the prequels, we'll release the original trilogy on DVD. And it was just sort of okay, fine, you know, a time issue in terms of his time management. And but after up two, there was this window where we actually sat down, and it's like, you know, you have some time to focus on this, and he did. And you know, it was really an alignment of planets issue. Yeah. However, it's not a bad thing that this is coming out now in anticipation of episode 3. There's no doubt about that, and that's great from a marketing perspective. But at the end of the day, it truly was about George's time and bandwidth to be able to kind of focus and lock on a configuration to let us go off and make the thing. Yeah.
A question for Rick. I'm not sure I saw on one of the menus it looked like a THX optimizer or something.
Yeah, that's a program that we have on all of the movies, all the THX certified titles. And those are actually test signals that we've used during the production of each of the movies. That at the compression time, we go through and utilize those to make sure nothing changes in the process of compression. Those same patterns are then pulled off and used as test patterns, so with instructions that you can use at home to set up your television set.
Does it require that you have a composite television?
No, component, composite, it all pretty much is the same.
Okay, right there.
Question for John. The films were already stored in 1997 for the special edition release. How much did you have to do from that point forward to get ready for this? And secondly, were there any real nightmare situations like you had with Raiders where you had that tear early on in the film that you had to fix?
These films did not look like they didn't restart in the last 40 years, never mind 1997. These were the dirtiest, grimiest films I've ever had the pleasure of working on. The wonderful part of it is we've got 600 computers to do all this stuff and all kinds of disk space. And then George and his team give us 30 days for each movie. I tell you, if I had my way, we'd still be working, cleaning them up and making them just perfect. But I'm just going to get in trouble here. they are perfect. Okay, good. We're very fussy people that want to make things as good as they can possibly be, and we'd send the discs up to Lucasfilm. The team there would go through it, and I'm sure George was involved in each one of these screenings. And we get the feedback the next day. Well, this is all beautiful. I'd like to see a little sharper. Yeah, little things like that. I thought we were fussy. Boy, is this guy fussy. Maybe that's why it's George Lucas.
Hey, John, do you want to talk about the challenge that you had in terms of similar to Indiana Jones? There was another challenge that you had on this one.
Indiana Jones was relatively easy by comparison. This one we had problems. For example, with every lightsaber shot is a film optical, which means you've got two more generations on film, which means it is softer, grainier, a little more contrast, things like that. So we're constantly through the movie trying to match an optical to the shots that come before and after it. The objective being, as I think Jim has mentioned in the room upstairs, you really want to, if you can, get back to the kind of quality that the director and cinematographer would have seen when they viewed their dailies. In other words, something that's pristine, something that is one generation away from the original negative, absolutely clean. That's our goal. When we can get to something that looks like that, we can be very, very proud of the result. We've done about 100 movies now, and in most cases we don't have the chance to work with a living director, obviously. Working with a living director is a pain in the ass. but fun. Really, really fun. It is challenging to say the least. You know, when you're doing the Citizen Kane, you know, you don't have to worry about those problems.
Grab the mic from the guy.
Building on that, when you go to start doing eventually the high definition version of these films on a wider format, will you use these same masters and then work on them a little bit more and get them perfect, or would you start again from ground zero?
Well, let me put it in. This project was a restoration project for the movies, and the quality that was achieved by this, we can go back and make new film if we chose to. Okay. This is a digital world we live into right now. But also keep in mind that this is the first time these movies have been seen from the original negative. In the theaters, we used to see a fourth generation optical result. Detail has never been seen this way. And that's some of the challenges. Sometimes you start to see too much. And of course, dirt, grass, scratches that kind of went away every time you step down in the optical process. Now you have to go back and remove. Even though they were there to begin with, you never saw it before. 97 release came from IP, one generation off the negative. But you know what you'll see off these transfers is something much better. These transfers are going to last a long time. The technology is pretty well. Technology is never stable. Okay, but what was achieved here by ILM and John certainly is going to set these titles up to go into multiple markets for a long while.
Okay, one last question.
You see too much. What do you mean? You can sometimes see too much when you clean it up. What do you mean by that?
Oh, the clarity of what you're really seeing is sometimes not what was intended. So special effects shots, things like that. Also, the fact that these are optical special effects shots. These were layers of film layered on top of each other with light going through it. And
when you clean up a movie, particularly older films, you very very often see makeup lines and all kinds of stuff when you clean them up really well. So yes, you can go too far, and you have to be very careful of those things.
You still clean it though, right? You just doctor the makeup line?
We ask the studio first. We never change anything in a film that is part of that film without getting permission.
But you had to do that on a project of
some. In some cases, yes, a few things. We on the Indiana Jones series, for example, we did the press thing. We were asked about the reflections of the in the snake pit, mm-hmm. And you know everybody's saying, you know, I think Jim said it right. I don't know. Look at the disc. But we got orders from Steven Spielberg, get the reflections out of there. And we removed the reflections, and I think they are now gone. And if you look at the technology available today compared to when the movie was made, I believe it's the right thing to do because it enhances the entertainment rather than giving you something that actually distracts from the story.
Okay, one last question, guys, right there in the center.
Will there, now that you've done this, is the film crunch made of this? Have you guys ever considered playing the Doc Vader again? The clean version?
Well, look, we have that option. We have no plans at this time, but the great thing is Rick says we have that option should we choose to do that. Yeah.
So they'll print it the name.
Well, yeah, remember, should we need to do that, that's we can do that. But the real issue is we're ready to go for digital exhibition, right? That's really the future, and that's where it's going. So we have that option should we choose to do that, but I think our preference would be to have all the theaters in America, you know, exhibit digitally. So. Okay, guys, thanks so much, and we really appreciate it.